Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your greatness and for your love toward us. Lord, thank you for taking us who are weak and who are small and who are the low things of this world, and for taking us and making us something, Lord. And Father, we trust that this morning you will be faithful to us to bring us your word. Lord, we look to you this morning to teach us by your Holy Spirit and to guide us into all truth. Lord, we open ourselves up to you this morning and ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit into our lives. Lord, we pray that our lives would be changed this morning by your word. We believe that your word is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So we ask, God, that you would use it to cut into the middle of our heart and to change us and to teach us that we would grow up, Lord, and that we would be used mightily by you. We pray for this study this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read together beginning in verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos.' Are you not carnal?" This morning, we're going to be looking at two things. We're going to be studying about carnality, and I will explain what that means in a few moments. And we're going to be looking at ministry and lessons for those who desire to be in the ministry. I don't know about you, but for me, I want to be ministering for the Lord. I want to be doing the Lord's work. Amen? Whether that's a pastor or whether you're some person who works in a job, we are all called to minister. We are all called to be ministers. In fact, the word minister, really it means servant. Did you know that? Sometimes we hear the word minister and we think of someone with a long robe and someone who has a large Bible and who is a pastor, but minister means servant. I think today in our society, the pastors in the area have gotten the idea backwards. Jesus said this, "I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." And so we're going to be looking at the ministry, some things about the ministry so that we can learn, so that we can be powerful ministers for the gospel. Amen? But first, let's look at the problem of carnality. Carnality. In chapter 3, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this. He said, "And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal people." The word carnal, it really means fleshly. Fleshly, carnal. In fact, it is the opposite of someone who is spiritual. Do you know, we all desire to be spiritual people, right? People who focus on things that are eternal. People who focus upon the Lord and upon the things of the Lord. Upon what God wants us to do. Our mind as Christians should be that spiritual mind, right? In fact, the Bible says, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit will come into us and will guide us into all truth. And so our goal as Christians is to be spiritual people. People who love the things of God. People who think about heaven. People who think about how we can serve God and serve one another. That's a spiritual person. But the opposite of that is what we see here, and it's called carnal, fleshly. It means instead of focusing on the things of God, you are focusing on the things of man, the flesh, the things that we can see with our eyes. The Bible says this, do not set your mind upon temporary things, things that you can see with your eyes. But set your mind upon things that are eternal, things that you can't see. And so there's a difference here this morning. There are carnal people, people who think about how to get money, people who think about how to please man, people who think about this world only. That's a carnal person. And did you know that in the church today, there are people who are carnal? That means people who think about the world and the things of the world. And there are spiritual people. People, they're not better than the others, but the Lord has changed their mind to where they think about heaven and about God and about things that really are important in this life. Did you know that God and His things are the most important things in life? Did you know that this morning? And did you know that a Christian is not someone who just comes to church and says that Jesus is their Savior? A Christian is someone who thinks about God, who in fact loves God, who loves Jesus. Jesus isn't just their Savior, He's the one who they love and follow. And there is a difference, spiritual and carnal, heavenly and earthly. We can think of it that way. And the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church which was at Corinth. And I've already mentioned before, that church is a lot like the church today in Uganda and in America. It is very similar. The church in Corinth, they loved wisdom, the wisdom of this world. The church in Corinth, they loved to have division, to glorify men. That's what they loved to do. And we can see that in our church today, in the church here in Uganda and all over the world. There is a lot of Christians who cause division over small things and who glorify different leaders in the church, right? It's not good, and we're going to study that. First of all, carnal people, that means these worldly people, and let me tell you again, there are these kind of people in the church. You know, you can be saved and still be carnal. It means you give your life to Jesus, but your mind is always thinking about this world, how you can make some money, how you can find happiness through something in the world instead of God. So there are these people in the church, and that's who we're speaking to this morning. This is what I want you to do, and I'll do the same thing. I want you to examine your own heart this morning. Examine your own thinking and say, am I a carnal person who thinks about this world? Or am I a spiritual person who thinks about Jesus, who thinks about God, who thinks about how we can further His kingdom on this earth? So ask yourself that this morning. First of all, carnal people are immature people. Do you know what it means to be immature? To be immature means you haven't grown up yet. Think of a human being, a person. When a baby is born, they are very small, right? They're very small human beings, babies. And then after 1 year, they get bigger. And then after 2 years, sometimes they can walk. And you watch the child grow from immaturity to maturity, right? They learn how to talk. They learn how to walk. They learn how to be nice to other people. They learn how to do these things. And so they are maturing. And what the Apostle Paul says here is that carnal people are immature people when it comes to the things of the Lord. They have not grown up yet. They are still babies when it comes to the Lord. In fact, look what he says in verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." And then he said this, verse 2. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able." You see, these Christians, in their spiritual walk with the Lord, had not grown up. They were still like babies in the faith. And it had been some years to where they should have grown up by this time. Think of it this way. Imagine if you saw someone who was my age. I'm 25. Imagine if you saw someone my age and I didn't know how to talk. I just went, "I got go go go," like a baby. And I was still drinking the milk. I was still using these baby things and I was crawling on the ground. What would you think about me? You'd think I was mad. No, you would think this. You would think that person needs to grow up, right? In fact, have you ever had some friends who acted very immature? They said foolish things sometimes. And what do you say? You say, "You need to grow up." Back where I'm from, they say, "You need to act your age." Act your age. If you're 25, you need to act like a 25-year-old, not like a 14-year-old. Act your age, right? My wife tells me that all the time. "Grow up! You're a pastor!" But the fact is, if we saw someone who was crawling like a baby and who didn't know how to talk, we would think this person should be mature. This person should grow up physically. Well, this is what Paul is talking about here. Spiritually, there are people who are babies in the Lord. They may be saved, but they have never grown. You know, Jesus said this, "You must be born again." That's what the Christian life is like. Taking the old, throwing it away, and you are born again. You have a new heart, a new nature. And someone who is born again needs to be fed. They need to be taught. They need to grow in the Lord. It's the same thing. And some people, they get born again, but they never grow up. They never move past the first things of the Lord. In fact, that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." You see what he says to these Christians? He says, by this time, you should be teaching other people about the Lord. You should be able to tell others about your faith and about Jesus and teach them the right way to go. But he says, you can't do that. You're like a baby. Spiritually. And he was unable to give them solid food. You know, with a baby, you can't give a baby a big piece of meat, can you? The baby would die. The baby would not know how to eat it. It would not help that baby. But for us as adults, we like meat so much. At least some of us do. Us as adults, we like meat. In fact, we would not be able to survive very well if we just drank milk all day. we would probably die. But for a baby, they cannot eat meat. They cannot eat that good thing that will make them strong because they're too small, too young. And spiritually, that is what is talking about here. We need to be at a place where we can receive the Word of God. Do you know in Kampala here, there are so many people who do not know this Word. They are babies in the Lord. It's been said this about Uganda. Uganda, the Christianity here, is a mile wide. It means everybody's a Christian, but it's only 1 inch deep. Christianity is a mile wide, but only 1 inch deep. It's like they want to follow the Lord, yet they have never made a choice to grow in the Lord. And how are we going to grow in the Lord? That's the question. Does anybody know? I'll give you a hint. It's right here. It's the Word of God. The Bible says, after you're born again, in the book of 2 Peter, it says, just like a baby, you should desire the pure milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. That's what the Bible says. And the sad thing is that most pastors are neglecting to teach the Bible. It's not some emotional message that is going to make you grow in Christianity. It will not let you grow. If someone shouts at you and gets you, we're going to go for Jesus, and just over and over again says the same thing, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We need to worship the Lord. If that is all the message that you hear, you will never grow. And it is our heart and our conviction that Uganda needs the Word of God, the Bible. Let's study the Bible. This is what will make us grow, nothing else. God has not given us anything else that will make us grow in the Lord except for His Word. That's it. It's the Word of God that we are going to grow, and we need to grow. People are dying. People are hurting. They need someone who is sure about what they believe. They need someone who is going to be able to teach them. They need someone who is mature in the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. You are still, you're like babies. You haven't grown up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says this. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. That's what God is telling us this morning. We need to grow up in the things of the Lord. We need to be spiritual people. That doesn't mean that we have to make ourselves better. Somehow, we have to go get a blessing from somewhere. That's not true. But God is saying, you need to be willing to move past these beginning things. And you need to get into the Word of God and study it. Because that's how we're going to grow. That's God's message to us this morning. Don't be like babies who don't even know what the Bible says. And let me just say this, there are so many false teachers in the world today that if you don't know what the Bible says, you will be deceived. I guarantee you. There are teachers that will tell you, if you have enough faith, God will give you whatever you want. In fact, they say, if you are a child of God, then you will be rich. You'll have money. And millions of people are hearing this message. Do you want to be rich? Do you want a Mercedes-Benz? Then come to the Lord. And if you are not rich, if you are not prospering, it means you're not saved. That you're not a true child of God. And people are believing these things. That is not what the Bible says. Let me just tell you that right now. And unless you know what the Bible says, you will believe what these evangelists or apostles or whoever says. That's why it's important for us to grow up. So carnal people are immature. We need to grow into maturity. Secondly, carnal people, that means worldly people in the church, worldly minded, that's all they think about. These people cause division. They cause division. They cause division, they cause envy, and they cause quarreling in the body of Christ. Do you know that churches in the world today, there is so much division, right? That means one group is together, and then here comes a problem, and then they divide over the problem. You know what I'm talking about. But the reason why division and envy, which means being jealous of somebody or of somebody else's position, and quarreling, these fighting amongst each other, those things come from carnal people, not spiritual people. Carnal people cause division, envying, and quarreling. Look what he says here in verse 3. It says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Aren't you worldly and carnal? And the way that you can know somebody is carnal is that they cause division, they cause envy, or they envy themselves, and they cause quarreling in the body of Christ. That's a carnal person. And these people don't consider things like humility, servanthood, being a servant, love. Because you know what the Bible says? Love will cover a multitude of sins. If someone has a problem, someone sitting on this side of the church has a problem with somebody sitting on this side of the church, if they are a carnal person, they will not love that person. They will not forgive. They will not stop envying. And do you know what will happen? Here's what happens. The person on this side of the church says something to their friend. Do you know what Josh did? Josh did this and this and this. I can't believe Josh is this way. Or whoever it is. And then that person they tell will say, "Oh, yes." And they're carnal too. And then they'll turn to the person behind them. "Josh did this." You know, I heard, and they add on something, right? It never just stays the same story. They always add something. And then before we know it, all of the people on this side, they think Josh is some kind of demon himself. And so then all of the people who know Josh are over here. They know it's not true. And then what happens? This side goes to another church. This side stays at the same church. You know that's true, don't you? I've seen that happen. Or about the pastor. That's the good one. "I can't believe Brian does this." Or these things. And these carnal people are causing division and envy. Looking at Anthony up here and saying, "I could play much better than Anthony. I should be up there on the worship team." You see, envy is there. "I should have this position." And quarreling, they're arguing with others. That is not how God's church is to act. I'll just tell you that right now. That's carnality. And the Lord says this morning, if you are like that, you need to grow up. The Bible says love. The Bible says forgive. The Bible says fellowship. It does not say quarrel and envy and cause division. And those people in the church who have not grown to know who the Lord is and what He thinks, they cause this kind of problem. So carnal people cause division, envying, and quarreling. And then it says, you're behaving like mere men in verse 3. You know, we as Christians, we have a desire to behave like who? Jesus. Have you ever seen that bracelet? It says WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I've seen people wear it. They can remind themselves. What would Jesus do in this situation? Well, Paul says you're acting like men, not like Jesus. So the next time you want to be a carnal person, you need to ask yourself, am I behaving like a man or am I behaving like Jesus? That's the good question. So what about ministry? What about ministry? There is a lot of desire, even within this church, to go out and to do ministry. We've heard that word. We've heard that term used. Are you in the ministry? Yes, I'm in the ministry. And we wonder, what is ministry all about? And this morning, in our second half here, I want us to look at some things about the ministry. For anybody who wants to minister, that should be all of us who are Christians. We are all called to minister, whether we have a job or not. You know, some people say, I'm going to be in the ministry, so I'm going to quit my job. In fact, the Lord calls us to be ministers while we're in our jobs. But the Lord has called different people to different things. But what about ministry? First of all, I want us to see something very important, and we're going to read together beginning in verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. You can see here that he's talking about ministry. In fact, specifically, he's talking about evangelism and church planting. That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying, there was this man whose name was Apollos. We've heard of Apollos before, haven't we, in the book of Acts. Do you remember Apollos was a man who was mighty in the scriptures? And he was a great speaker, so that people loved to listen to him about the Lord. And of course we know Paul, one of the greatest missionaries, the one who God used to bring most of the New Testament to us. And so he's saying here this. He says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you have believed, through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave each one. And I want us to see this here. I want us to know the first thing about ministry is we should not, and listen to me very carefully, this is big here, in Kampala especially. We should not glorify leaders in the ministry. Do you know what it means to glorify someone? It means to consider that person to be better than they actually are. Can you think of any man on TV, on Lighthouse Television, that people glorify? I can. A lot of them. And, you know, and I mentioned this before, you have a crusade here, and it's called the Benny Hinn Crusade. And there's his name right there. And someone will come to the crusade and they'll say, I want to go to the crusade so that Benny Hinn can heal me. And the people will come to the crusade and they'll say, how great this man, Benny Hinn, is. And do you think that Benny Hinn is just like the rest of us? Most people don't. They think he's an angel or something. That's wrong. That's what it's talking about here. The Apostle Paul did more than any of the other apostles in the New Testament. God used him for that. And he said to these people, who am I? And who is Apollos? We're just servants. We're not anything great. Do you remember when Paul and Barnabas, they went, I believe it was Lystra, in the book of Acts. Do you remember they went to this city and there was a crippled man there, a man who could not walk. And Paul and Barnabas went to this man and the Bible says they saw that he had the faith to be healed. Not faith in them, but faith in God. They saw he had faith and so they said, rise up and walk, and he was healed. And do you remember what the city did? In fact, in that city, they worshipped two gods. They worshipped Zeus, and they worshipped Hermes. Zeus was the main god, and then Hermes was his speaker. And when Paul and Barnabas came there, and this man was healed, immediately the people did what? They worshipped Paul and Barnabas. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Paul and Barnabas heal that man from their power? No. Who healed the man? It was Jesus. It was God. God is the one. In the name of Jesus, they were healed. And so Paul and Barnabas, the people come to them, and they want to sacrifice to them and worship them. And do you know what Paul and Barnabas did? They tore their clothes. They were angry. Why are you worshiping us? We are just like you. We're just men. We're not anything special. They didn't go up onto the top of the thing and say, I'm a man of God. I have the anointing. And everybody who comes to me will be healed. And then they took an offering. And then they took another one. They did not do that because they knew that they were nothing special. And let me tell you this. If anybody is used by the Lord in a great way, it is not because they are something special themselves. It's been said this. There are no great men of God. There are, and hear me. There are no great men of God. There are just men who are used by a great God. Do you hear that? There are no great men of God. There are only men and women who are used by a great God. And most of the time, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chooses the worst people. The foolish. The mad. The crazy. The unwise. And the Bible says so that nobody will glory in His presence. And I feel sorry for those people on TV who glory in God's presence. It's wrong. It's not acceptable. It's not okay with God. And so rule number one about the ministry. Do not glorify those people who are in the ministry. Who are being used by God. I get so, and I'm sorry to spend so much time, I get so angry. I go and I see some pastors around the city, and they'll be walking, they're dressed nicely. They'll be walking, and then there'll be some people walking behind, carrying their Bible. Like the pastor is somebody great. Do you know who the greatest man on earth was? Jesus Christ. Do you know what he did? He washed his disciples' feet. That is the lowest job that someone could have in that day. Washing the dirty, feet of His disciples, of fishermen, of the lowest class of society. Jesus, the King of glory, He came and He washed their feet. And then I see some guy having their servant carry their Bible for them and stand and think there's something great. Jesus said this, "If I am your Lord and Master and I have done this to you, then you should do it to one another." A servant is not greater than his master. I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. That's what Jesus said. Is that your heart this morning? What did John the Baptist say? Do you remember John the Baptist? Jesus said this about John the Baptist. Among those born among women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. He was the prophet who led Jesus in to his ministry, the forerunner. And the people started coming to John the Baptist and they started saying to him, "Jesus is developing a bigger ministry than your ministry, John the Baptist." That's what they said. Jesus has a bigger ministry. He's got more posters with his face on them than your ministry. And do you know what John the Baptist said? I think we know. He said this, "I must decrease and He must increase." I must decrease. I don't want you to think about how great Brian is. I want you to think about how great Jesus is. Who is getting the glory anyway? Is it the pastor? Is it the apostle? Is it the prophet? Who receives the glory in the ministry? That can tell you right away if it is a good ministry or a bad ministry. Before you even hear the false teaching. Who gets the glory? Is it the pastor or is it Jesus Christ? And so many people in ministry have fallen because they start to believe people that tell them, "You're a great man of God." I'm going to tell you this morning. I'm not a great man of God. I stand up here and I'm afraid every time. I get up here and I turn around and I see you guys and I fear. I'm not a great man of God. I sin just like everybody. I'm just like you. But God is great. God is the one who we glorify in ministry. Not Paul, not Apollos, not Benny Hinn, not anybody. It's God alone who receives the glory. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." If anybody thinks themselves to be something great when they are nothing, they are deceiving themselves. They are, do you know what the word disillusioned means? They don't have a grasp on reality. They think something that's not really true. And that's what the Bible says. Anybody who thinks that they're great, they are deceiving themselves. So we should not glory in the ministers themselves. It's only God who does the work. Secondly, God is the one who brings results in the ministry. And this is good. I like this. For those of us who have a desire to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, for those of us who desire to start a church and to have a Bible study in the ministry of the Lord, we need to remember this, that God is the one who brings results in the ministry, not man. That's good. You know, that takes a big burden off of me. Because if it was up to me to produce converts, I could not do it. I can't convince anybody to get saved. Oh, please get saved. I need to have a big ministry here. It's God who does the gives the results. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, "I planted," and this is Paul speaking, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And also in verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but it is God who gives the increase. It's like a farm, right? If you have a field, you're going to plant some maize. And one person is in charge of going and getting the ground tilled like that. And then one person goes and he puts the seeds in there of whatever they're planting. And then one person goes, if it's not raining, they have some watering somehow. Different in each place. So one person is doing this job, one person is doing this job, one person is doing this job, but who is it that tells the thing to grow out of the ground? No one can do that. You can't make something grow. All you can do is plant the seed and give it water. And then God will make it grow. That's what he does. It's the same thing with ministry. You and I are called to do something. I'm called to teach the Bible. In fact, the Bible is called a seed. Did you know that? Remember the parable of the man? And he had a bag of seeds. And he threw some seeds out. Some landed on the pathway. Some landed in the thorny ground. Some landed in the shallow, rocky ground. And some landed on good ground. And Jesus was explaining the parable, and he said, the seed is what? The Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And the different ground are different people's hearts whom the Word of God lands on. So this morning, I'm planting. Like what Paul did. Planting the seed. Here you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's my job. That's what I do. And then someone will come along and water. Maybe someone in the congregation. Did you see this verse in this chapter? And they'll bring some understanding, and it's like watering that seed. And before long, God will give the increase in the person's heart. We studied it last week in chapter 2. It is God who brings men to salvation. We are just responsible for giving the word. That's good news for me. We have a saying where I'm from. It says, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. And that means, don't worry. Don't try to work so hard that sweat comes down. Because you're worried about what people are doing. God is saying to me, you just plant, you just water, and I'll give the increase. It's not our job to save people. It's our job to give people the Word of God, to preach the gospel. So, in ministry, it's God who brings the increase. That's a good thing to know for those who desire to do the ministry. This should teach us one thing, that our faith and our confidence should not be in ourselves, right? How good can I be on Sunday morning? You know, in fact, I try to do the best I can. But every time I think, oh, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good. I wish I could be a better speaker. I wish I could have more understanding. That's what I think. I think, oh, I'm so young. How can people listen to me? And I always try to be better. But the Lord is saying to me, it's not your job. It's not your work. It's me. The Lord is saying, I am the one that is going to do a work, not you. And so that teaches me it's not faith in myself or in my own ability, but it's faith in God and His ability. The Bible says this in Psalm 115:1. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Not me, but you, Lord. You're the one who's going to do the work. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 through 5, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, For without me, you can do nothing. Did you hear that last part? How much ministry can we do without the Lord Jesus? None. Zero. Even if we established a big church, if we invited all the people and we had this huge church, yet the Lord was not the one who did the work, it would be for nothing. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to labor in vain here in Kampala. It's the Lord. It's not me, it's not anybody. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus said. Number three about ministry, we will be rewarded for doing God's work here on earth. We will be rewarded for doing God's work here on earth. It says in verse 8, chapter 3, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And it goes on to talk about how Paul built the foundation. And it says in verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. You hear what he's saying here? He's saying there is ministry to be done. There are churches to be planted. There are people to be discipled. There are unsaved who need to get saved. They need the gospel. And I loved Betty's testimony this morning. The Lord told her to preach the gospel, and it was for a reason, because the people got saved. So there is ministry to be done. And the Lord is telling us, we will be rewarded for the ministry that is done. And I want to tell you this. It's not a reward for how much ministry is done. It's a reward for our attitude and our heart in doing the ministry. Because it says God is responsible for increasing the ministry, not us. So we are rewarded for our obedience to do what God has called us to do. And this is what amazes me. This is what I find very amazing. God is going to reward us for doing these things in ministry. Yet, just before that, he says, he is the one who does the work in the ministry, not us. So this is what God is saying. If I can use you to do my ministry, I'll give you a reward. That's amazing. If I can use you to do my will, then I will reward you for it. It's not us. We don't deserve a reward, do we? It's the Lord's work. Yet he says, I will reward you for that work which you do. And it goes on to talk about the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. If you're doing ministry, you better make sure that you're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, on a true foundation. You know, I've found a lot of people have built their lives on a foundation of emotionalism, of excitement. Maybe at a crusade, people are excited, they get saved, yet their life is not founded on Jesus Christ. And that's important, because Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. He speaks about a man, two men. They build houses, just like we're learning here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They build houses, and one man builds his house upon some sand. Right? We all learned this one as children, growing up. One man built his house on the sand. The foundation was sand. One man built his house upon rock. The foundation was solid. The foundation was sure. He built his house upon the rock. And you know the story. The wind came, the rains came, and they beat upon the houses. And which one was the house that stood through the wind and the wave and the storm and the rains? Was it the one built on the foundation of sand? Nope. That house was destroyed. It was the house which was built on a solid foundation that lasted through the storm. Let me tell you this morning. Your life and my life, we had better build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, or else we will not be able to last the storms of life. When somebody dies in our family, what is the foundation? When somebody treats us badly, what is our foundation? It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ, or the house will fall. And it says, each one's work will be tried in the day of reward. It's either wood, hay, or stubble, or gold and jewels and all these things. That's speaking about our motivation in ministry. What motivates you to do ministry? Is it love for God and love for people? Or is it love for glory and love for money? What is our motivation for ministry? That's the question. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord is going to put all of our ministry onto this altar. He's going to put all the ministry there that we've done. He's going to pile it up. And he's going to get some fire, and it's going to consume that thing, and only the things that were done with a good motivation are going to last there. I don't care if you minister for 40 years and have millions upon millions of people following you. If it is not for the Lord's glory, it will burn up. What a waste of time. It's important. Whose glory do we want? Mine or His? I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to be glorified in this ministry. And that's what it's speaking of there, that the day will declare what kind of work it was. Jesus told a story about these Pharisees, remember? And he said, these guys fast. They go without food. And they fast and they go and stand and they disfigure their face. And they go tell everybody, oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, why are you hungry? Can I give you some bread? No, I'm fasting. And then the people go, wow, he's fasting. He's so spiritual. She's so spiritual. Yes, I'm fasting for the Lord. Oh. And what did Jesus say about those kind? He says, most assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what it's talking about here in 1 Corinthians, a reward. If you do things so that other people will see you and appreciate you, you have your reward. You will not get anything when you get to Jesus. But Jesus goes on to talk about prayer. Those guys who pray, they pray on the street corner. They stand up higher than everybody. Lord, louder than everybody. We pray to you tonight. We ask for your blessing. And Jesus says this about them. I tell you the truth, they have their reward. Their reward is that people look at them and say, what a man of God. What a woman of God. Did you see them praying? You know, I heard Josh praise all night long. I can hear him outside praying, Lord. They have their reward. Not Josh. Sorry, Josh. Jesus said this. When you pray, go into your secret place where nobody can hear you and nobody can see you except for God. And pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. See that? What is your motivation for ministry? What motivates you to go to a prayer meeting? Is it so that the leadership in the church will see you there and say, oh, they're at the prayer meeting? What is your motivation? That's the question here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we will be rewarded for what we do in ministry, but we need to question our own hearts. What motivates us? And in verse 18 through the end of the chapter, let no one deceive himself if anyone among you seems to be wise in this age. Let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. In ministry, we are not to trust the wisdom of this world. That's what it's saying there. The world says you need to do this, this, and this in order to bring happiness, right? Everybody in the world is trying to be happy. And the world is always telling the church, these are the things you need to be happy. But the Bible says here, don't trust in that wisdom. That wisdom in the world is foolishness to God. You trust in God. In ministry, don't accept those things that those worldly people tell you. You trust in God. You trust in His Word. And finally, we as Christians have all things. Therefore, we should not boast in men. Paul is saying here, every Christian is the same. I am no different than you. I serve the same God that you serve. I have the same promises that you have. We are all equal. Therefore, we should not boast in any man. But we should realize the Lord is great. The Lord has done this. The Lord is powerful. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow up into maturity. Lord, help us not to be carnal Christians, but to be spiritual, to think of you, to think of your things. And Father, we pray that you would help us in ministry, that you would give us grace that we may serve you acceptably. Lord, we want to have a reward in that day. We pray that you would use us, that you would glorify yourself through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.